Show.
He's the Grave Digger. Gilbert Brown.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid. Right on.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show.
There's far too many of you dying.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday, that means Friday. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's finally Friday.
Yeah, man, you got that right.
Finally.
Yeah, finally Friday.
Yeah.
And if you haven't, if you've been living under a rock, then you wouldn't know who that other guy is who just chimed in. That's none other than
because I live under a rock?
No.
What are you suggesting here, Earl?
For the people who have been living under a rock.
Lift up a rock? Oops, Sandy Williams.
That's my co-host, Sandy Williams. How you doing, Sandy?
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. Yeah. We're finally getting some warm weather. Right.
Warm weather, and now we're in a time warp because you turn on TV and there's Donald Trump.
Sandy.
What? Wow.
You watched a little of it.
I watched as much as I could.
So when you make a statement like you watched as much as you could,
yeah.
What were you expecting to see?
No, I knew that my tolerance level wouldn't last too long, but... I was saying to you off the air before we started, you know, the Batman movie with Jack Nicholson and the Joker.
Yeah.
When I see Trump now, I realize that he's like one of these Marvel movie comic characters who's like the hype, like it's the extreme logical extreme of whatever this character is. That's his behavior. So he's the Joker.
He's getting worse.
Yeah.
You know, when you see him, it's, you know, so you see him and you think, well, okay, he's a bad guy. But you don't think that he could become the president of the United States again. That's the fear, right? He could realistically become the president of the United States again.
Well, if you believe the ABC poll, it's more likely than not.
Yes.
Yeah. The world must look at America and wonder just what is inside our stocking. You know, what is it that's going on inside this country? You know, there are people who say, well, you got to look at his policies. And sure, I think inadvertently this Marvel comic character could do some things that could represent good policy in a substantial number of people's eyes, okay, whether it's foreign affairs or whatever. But I use the word inadvertently because I think I can't attribute to him any sound thinking. You know, his behavior is such that – and that's horrifying. You know, because sound thinking ultimately is what you want. You know, there are people who think soundly who disagree with you, but you can still have confidence that this person is going to behave rationally when push comes to shove. But I have no belief of that at all about Donald Trump. And every time I see him, like on CNN, my ability to have a leap of faith and believe that disappears.
So did you watch him long enough to hear him say, The moderator said, Donald Trump said, well, I think maybe what we need to do is default on the debt ceiling.
Yeah.
And she asked him, she said, well, three times they raised the debt ceiling when you was the president. And he looked over at her and gave her this crazy look and said, yeah, I was president then. you know what I mean? In other words, yeah, I did that only, you know, I'm not the president anymore. So, and what gets me, Sandy, the most
well,
about
you know,
it,
he he has no problem defaulting on credit. I know. He's been he's not personally, times. but his businesses have gone bankrupt regularly, and it's a lever he's perfectly willing to push. But it just shows how detached from reality is. You know, while he was president, actually, the credit rating in the United States did drop.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, and so you know, we have to understand how important it is that the U.S. Treasury instruments be viewed as the safest investments in the world. If they aren't, we've got a serious problem.
So, Sandy, we're going to get into all of that, but I can't help but just think about this man and who he is and the fact that he is, you know, where he is, and close once again to becoming the most powerful man in the world. Right.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, could possibly happen. And so, you know, we're going to talk about all of that. I'm really happy and excited about our guest who is joining us in a few minutes. Can you hear fine?
Yeah.
All right. So if you'll, pull the microphone a little bit over to you and... We'll do this. It's none other than State Senator, Wisconsin State Senator LaTonya Johnson. Good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
All right. This is Sandy Williams, my co-host.
Hi. How are you, LaTonya?
Fine.
All right. So, LaTonya, this is your third term?
Yes. Well, I was elected in 2016.
Yeah, as state rep.
As state senator.
State senator.
I was elected in 2012 as the state rep.
Yeah, so you've spent a little time up in Madison.
I have.
You kind of know your way around a little bit.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So you and I used to talk a lot when your first time you ran for office as a state rep, I supported you. And you ran for state mm-hmm. senator, I supported you. And I support you even today. Because what I do know about you is you're willing to fight for the people in the community that you and I both come from.
Yes, and thank you for that support over the years, too. That's been tremendously helpful, especially sometimes being an elected, especially at the mm-hmm. state level. You go to the Capitol and you have to fight with your colleagues on the other side for just a little bit for the state of Wisconsin. And then in some cases, you come home and you have to fight people here
right.
In order to get things done. And because Madison is so far away from Milwaukee, sometimes the work we do there doesn't necessarily transcend to the streets of Milwaukee. So you get individuals who feel like you're not doing anything, and perhaps they don't really understand that majority rules. And because you're not in the majority, there's not a whole lot that you can do.
So how does it – I often wonder, I could never do what you guys do. Because to be in the minority all the time, right? All the time you've been up in Madison, you guys have been in the minority. How does it feel when you know at the end of the day the information that and the need that people in your community need, it's going to be hard to get it there because you're in the minority?
And, you know, that's the piece that takes the mental toll because it's the stress and the depression for seeing what's going on in your community and not being able to change it. I do think that I'm luckier than most because I've been in the minority the entire time I've been there. I don't know what it feels like to be in the majority. But recently, the attitudes of the individuals in the majority they are just, it's not even to the point where they ignore us. It's to the point where they treat us as we don't even exist. And, you know, when you're in the minority, the only thing that you have are your words to be able to fight. And in a lot of cases, they try and put stipulations on that, whether that's the amount of time that you're going to get to debate on the floor or whether that's, you know, always having to be cautious with what you say and how you say it, because then it'll make it impossible to get anything passed.
So And one of the reasons, and the main reason I invited you today is clearly because of revenue sharing, the debates that are going on, the seriousness of it, looking at Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee facing a $150 million budget deficit that will devastate the city and the taxpayers like myself who live there. And the fact that you got to wrestle with the people who are telling you and others that if we give you some money, you'll do what we tell you to do with. I mean, just horrible, horrible, decisions that have been made for a long time that have kind of put Milwaukee in the situation that it's in. And then to finally talk to you guys like they're talking to children, mm-hmm. right? Well, if we give you some money, you're going to do with it what we tell you to do with it. Or you guys are from Milwaukee and you don't know what to do with money, so we'll tell you this is how it's going to go. I could never do what you do because I would be in jail.
I've been caught on open mics before. We've had issues.
I know.
And you know, the problem with that is that they're not giving us anything. We're just asking for our fair share. You know, when people come and they enjoy those Brewer games and those Bucks games, we're providing the safety from our pockets at our cost. But the taxes go to the state for those events, whether you buy a soda, whatever you buy, food, that money goes to the state. And so we're just asking for our fair share back so we can be responsible and take care of the needs of the city. It's not like we're asking for anything additional. And even with the shared revenue that we're receiving, it's not enough. And it's not nearly as much as we're sending to the state in terms
so,
of
so
cash.
So one thing I think...
Sandy, we got to go to a break.
Oh, okay.
So after we go to a break, we'll certainly let you chime in. I'm happy and excited to have you in the studio. My friend, State Senator LaTanya Johnson, and my other friend.
What's his name?
We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. At 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. My guest is State Senator LaTanya Johnson, and it's Friday, so my co-host Sandy Williams. And you know, Sandy, one of the things that and why I think it's so important that we have Senator Johnson in the studio is because conversation in many parts of the state is that Milwaukee is getting all the resources, and even though it's a perception that people who really do believe that we are getting the lion's share of the resources and disavowing or not even understanding that we are paying in the largest share of the state taxes, and that's how it works.
Well, I mean, you know, I was just going to ask the senator. So, Pete, we talk about these issues,
And I think it's important to understand, you know, shared revenues, what is that about? And Senator, I take it what we're talking about is each the state receives sales tax and income tax revenues, and then some of that money is spent at the state level to finance the prison system and the education grants that they make, and some of it is redistributed back to localities, right? And that's, we're talking now about money that comes from localities and how much of it gets distributed back to the localities. Is that right?
Correct. And in most cases, we're receiving back maybe 60 cents on a dollar. So, for example, I don't have anything that says thus far how much money we send in aid, but...
Well, no. Well, I mean, if you get 60 cents on the dollar, I presume means that we send in a dollar in taxes and we get back correct. 60 cents in aids back to us. So 40 cents on the dollar is staying at the state level and 60 cents is coming back to our locality.
Right. And that 40 cents is then being distributed. Well, and it's going to assist other counties, other municipalities.
Well, the 40 cents would also support the state level expenditures, prison
yes.
system, and so, but the so you know, I think that people ought to understand that this isn't money that's coming to Milwaukee that is net a net gift to Milwaukee
right.
from the state. We send tax revenue into the state. They send some of it back. They send some of it back to every locality,
exactly.
and the the fact is that our city and county being so very big. And involving all the things you talked about, being a tourist center, we are experiencing costs that are not being borne by anyone but the Milwaukee County taxpayers, but the costs are far in excess of what is necessary just to service Milwaukee County taxpayers. We've got people commuting in from Mequon and Waukesha County into the local community that cost us. If we consider ourselves Milwaukee County residents, we have to pay the cost for our sheriff's department, everything else, but those costs are magnified by all the influx of people into the county, right?
Exactly. That's exactly the piece, because Milwaukee is the largest revenue generator in terms of counties. Milwaukee County is. And our attractions attracts hundreds of thousands of people every year, from the Pfizer Forum and the Milwaukee Bucks to now the American Family Stadium and the Brewers.
Summerfest Grounds.
State Fair Park.
Yeah.
So we are attracting hundreds of thousands of people, and we are paying for the security to secure those events. And that costs significantly. We're paying for emergency services. We're paying for our roads. And then we're expected to balance our budget, receiving fewer and fewer dollars.
Well, and the other thing is that one of the reasons we're attractive is that we are a metropolitan area with a city, and dense population areas have higher costs than rural populations. So that, for instance, we have a county transit system, a bus system, that is quite large in scale. But you go out to rural Wisconsin, they don't have transit systems to support. And the reason we have transit systems is because we have a dense population. We need to provide ways for people to get around in our community. And so, you know, I think that there isn't enough discussion in a public sort of a way to help the people understand that the county of Milwaukee is generating lots of money. The sales taxes that are paid inside the county, most of them go back to the state and then have to be, in order for Milwaukee County to realize any value from them, it has to be through this shared revenue scheme. And so, you know, I think you do a great job in Madison of fighting the fight for Milwaukee County, but I'm not sure the people of the state understand what this process is all about.
Which is why I think it's important that we have the conversation over the air, because, you know, people from across the state are listening to the program.
Yeah.
And so what they get is snippets of what they hear.
Well, I mean, most of the news is about the money that's sent to Milwaukee, as if Milwaukee's the only recipient of money from the state, when every locality gets money back from the state. Every school district gets shared revenues. You know, so the revenues are shared throughout the state with all of the municipalities. And then the question is, how is that money shared? What's the formula for it? And what is the impact of it on each of the localities?
Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. My guest is State Senator LaTanya Johnson. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. So. Always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and State Senator LaTanya Johnson's in the studio.
Yeah, so, Senator, I take it that Milwaukee County is the source of a great deal of revenue to the state. Do you know how much revenue was paid into the state coffers by Milwaukee County?
So the information that we have, Milwaukee County sent more than $2.4 billion
to the
state in 2018.
So people should have in mind that money that might be flowing back to Milwaukee County now should be compared to $2.4 billion of revenue that went to the state coffers from Milwaukee County. So, you know, in terms of analysis, if you were to distribute money back to Milwaukee County per capita, I don't know how that relates to per capita revenue derived from the state, from all the different counties, if you measured it per person. But my guess is that even on a per capita basis, that Milwaukee's tax contributions are the highest in the state.
It is. And per the New Deal information, we sent $2.4 billion to the state, but only got about $47 million in state revenue
in 2018.
Yeah. I'll tell everyone, all the listeners, even when I was in state government, the sharing formula is very Byzantine, and by Byzantine I mean complicated, and there are all kinds of different lines to the sharing as to how much is shared at school districts, how much is shared across the board in different functions, and so. I suspect there are only a couple of people in Madison who truly understand the sharing formula, but I think what's being debated now is what will be shared out of a supplemental sharing that is being developed, and my assumption is it's out of the surplus revenue that the state is currently experiencing.
So let me ask the both of you then, so if when these dollars go into the state coffers, the state keeps X amount for itself?
Well, sure.
Who determines what that amount is and what percentage of
it? Well, the state budget, is set, and so the state spends a certain amount of money on prisons and on the universities and on the DNR and on its various agencies, and then the money that isn't spent in those places is to be shared. Yeah.
Yeah, but. The state is certainly going to keep even more dollars to make sure that it remains solvent.
Well, the state has to have a balanced budget.
Right.
Unlike the federal government that can print money and run deficits, the state budget has to be balanced every year. So that's why we go through such gyrations when we're short on money. We have to cut to the bone various of our expenditure levels. And I can't tell you now whether sharing is made out of a finite amount every year, or whether it comes out of the money that isn't spent by the state at the state level. I think it's a finite amount, but in any case, it is money that is shared back to the localities, and it's money that is sent back to the localities who have already sent money to the state. So it's money being returned. It's not being money given.
So Senator Johnson, when they have the debates that they're having now, and you have some colleagues who are in the, I guess it's negotiations. I don't know if they're called negotiations or whatever they are. But when some of the information that has come out about, you know, the city of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County, and what's needed, and Republicans are clearly stating we're going to control what they do with the money. What are your thoughts about that?
That's the huge concern, because rather than allowing Milwaukee and Milwaukee County to receive this increased sales tax and do with it what's necessary, the increased sales tax can only be used to help alleviate the pension burden and also for public safety, which is fire and police, and in terms of Milwaukee County, the court systems, the jails. And that's a huge concern. For example, one of the sticking points for the city of Milwaukee is that we have to maintain at least the same number of police officers that we have starting, I believe that's January of 2023. But we have to gradually increase sworn police officers to 1,725 and over 200 firefighters. The problem with that is that Milwaukee doesn't have the revenue.
Yeah, no.
Even with the increased sales tax, if there's a recession and that sales tax goes down, there's no provision to allow us to accommodate for that. And that's a huge concern for us. It's not that we don't want additional police officers. We hear on the doors all the time that they want a bigger presence. It's just that we can't afford it. The average police officer costs $110,000. For example, one of the stipulations for the increase is that Milwaukee Public School has to hire at least 25 resource officers, which have to be sworn police officers, at $110,000 per officer. That's roughly somewhere around $2.5 million. And the city is expected to pay $1 million of that cost. With increased shared revenue that we needed, you know, in terms of the taxes, they're giving us money and then they're increasing the cost at which we have to use that money for. And it's not fair.
So let's go to Travis from Greenfield first, Sandy, and then we'll come back to you. Thank you very much for the call, Travis. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl. I have a question about this whole shared revenue. Now, being a Milwaukee County resident and knowing that the GOP is not going to do anything except try to screw Milwaukee County, city of Milwaukee, what would happen if Milwaukee County just decided we're not sending our tax money to the state, we're going to keep it?
Well, just from a technical standpoint, practically, the money is paid to the state, so it isn't paid through Milwaukee County. We aren't collecting revenues at the county level and sending it to the state. It's just the opposite. The money's being collected from county residents by the state, through sales tax mechanisms and income tax mechanisms. So, unfortunately, we don't have the capacity to put the money in the bag and hold it ourselves. But what's interesting about what's being proposed apparently is that the GOP frequently talks about how the federal government has mandates that are unfunded. But here we're talking now, Senator, about a mandate that's only partially funded, a mandate for more police officers, but we're only going to fund part of them. And it's interesting as well, I think, that they would pick the fire and police area to mandate officers when one of the other GOP complaints is the extent to which private interests, particularly union private interests, have a big impact. And I think we all know that the fire and police unions have been probably on the GOP side of the balance sheet in terms of who they support. And so what are we doing here? I mean, this is the hypocrisy, I think, of the current political scene, which is they're doing just what they complain about.
And the ironic thing is that fire and police account for about 60% of Milwaukee's operating revenue. So we pay, our operating cost is about $721 million a year. And that doesn't include things that we're bonding for. I think in total we have a $1.5 billion budget, but our operating cost is $721 million.
I got to tell you, that's astounding to me that 60% of the budget is fire and police.
Well, it could be, and part of that is that the pension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the pension funding obligation associated
exactly
with the fire and police is a very big part of that, and that does fall into the operating cost portion. So, yeah, it's a very, very. I mean, it's the biggest line items in the local budget.
And so, those of us who live in the city and know that 60% of the dollars are already accounted for, we like to have the streets clean the way we used to, Sandy. You know, many years ago, they would make sure that the streets were swept. They would make sure that the garbage, we wouldn't have any problems with garbage. All those things now are impacted and affected, and the city can't afford it. It's just like the county. It can't afford the things that it used to be able to afford. And now all these changes are.
Well, I think what the senator pointed out about the mandate for police, sworn police officers for the schools, with the cost of about $2.6 million and only being, and the state saying, yeah, and we'll contribute $1 million to that, which is saying to the Milwaukee County residents,
who don't
city
want
residents,
it.
Well, whether they want it or not, that they're going to have to come up with an additional $1.6 million, which is coming out of a hard-pressed budget.
Right.
And a budget that is overwhelmed by these costs already.
And the insult to injury of that is that, first of all, 25 officers would not be enough to cover all of our high schools.
Yeah, right.
But even if we hired that amount of police officers, we could use that in terms of reaching that 1725 number. But those officers would be dedicated to the schools. And our police force can't afford to have a police officer sit at a school for 8 hours a day when they're needed out on the streets. So that's another issue.
Well, the fact that people who don't even live in the city and don't know anything about it are mandating those things. And my question for them would be, who gives you the authorization? Why is it your issue if the people in the city of Milwaukee don't want police in their schools, which we have agreed to, and the schools, the district itself, and the taxpayers who have said we don't want police in the schools? I know that because during the times I was in the schools, they did have police officers. And when they removed them, the sky didn't fall. So why are you demanding that happens now?
Mm-hmm.
The people haven't asked for that. And truly, if you look at what's going on in the schools, there are a lot of things, but not to the degree that we need full-time police officers.
And I think another issue with the police unions and their ability to bargain, first of all, is that they do something called line item bargaining, which generates better benefits for those individuals than with typical bargaining rights, right? And then police after 25 years have the ability to retire.
Yeah.
So, for example, prior to 2018... Exactly. Prior to 2018, an officer could become a cadet, right, at the age of 18 and then join the police department at the age of 20. Well, that cadet period was counted in those 25 years until 2018. That was changed. So now, even if you join the police office, the police department at 20, and you serve your 25 years, that's 40. You're at age 45 by the time you're able to retire and collect your pension, and then you can go work somewhere else.
Well, and in fact, you know, my understanding, and I know some ex police officers, is that most police officers will retire at the end of that time period because their standard of living goes up immediately upon retirement because they get a job after retirement,
right,
that pays them at as much as they were earning as a policeman, plus their pensions. And so, and their pensions are quite generous as a percentage of their income. So It's a very expensive program. And yes, I can understand how police being a policeman is a difficult job that might have some burnout aspects to it. But there are different roles that, police could play in the department that wouldn't necessarily put them into a pension. That might put them into an office. But I do believe that, the idea that the state would dictate to the locality how they spend their money in this very sensitive area of police relations is an extreme case of patronizing at, from the state level.
All right, we got to go to break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Just Eric Height. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
Download the Civic Media app now.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me. Someone I've needed so long.
And the 2.4 million.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, so good to have you, Senator Johnson, in the studio. We got to do this more. State Senator LaTanya Johnson and Sandy Williams. You know, Senator Johnson, there are a lot of caveats to the money, right? If we give you this money, they're dictating to the city of Milwaukee what to do with it. You'll never, we're not going to let you use it on that train or that trolley. Well,
So they also have a prohibition that this bill will specify that no monies raised by levy taxes may be used by the city to fund any position for which principal duties consist of promoting individuals or groups on the basis of their race, color, ancestry, national origin, or sexual orientation. So that means that you can't use the money on your Office of Diversity and Inclusion. And also, they will prohibit this bill for any county, city, village, or town to discriminate against or grant preferential treatment on the basis of race, color, ancestry, national origin, or sexual orientation. So that means, like, for example, in the city of Milwaukee, how they have 5% contracts that they give out to minority-related businesses, that's going to be cut.
Well, the money that would be expended on enforcing that, or is it that money expended for the contracts? I see. Contracts that have that stipulation in it. Would not be subject to being covered by this.
Exactly, unless they secure funds from federal aid, so they wouldn't be able to use.
Interesting is the budget of the county is so much greater than this aid formula, and they're saying that the money for the aid formula can't be used that way. But, the impact of this might be that they're saying nothing in the budget can do that. That's an interesting issue. But what it is clearly a symptom of is the fact that the state, at the state level, a bunch of legislators around the state who aren't representing the Milwaukee County or its metropolitan area want to tell Milwaukee County and metropolitan area what to do. I'm confident that the whole principle of home rule that was sacred in Wisconsin and particularly sacred to the conservative side of politics from time immemorial is violating the very concept of home rule. Home rule is you let the localities, the people close to the what they know about, regulate and spend money and set budgets about what they know about.
Well, you know, Sandy and Senator Johnson, the truth of this is it's not just happening in the state of Wisconsin. It is a part of the playbook that Republicans are doing on a national scale, Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what these people are doing, just following the playbook that's out there and to choke off cities and counties. And it's a dangerous proposition.
Well, it's the whole choke government concept.
Yes.
You know, strangle government of money, shrink it down.
But so those people are
so
in
now
government.
Now apparently they think what we'll do is we'll just choke cities, and then we can stand back and point at all the problems the cities have and say, see, that's what happens when Democrats run an organization, right? That it turns into the problems of the city. When the fact is that it's just the flip side of that. Cities tend to know that they need to rely on government and need to have strong and able governments to operate, which probably translates more likely into being Democrat than Republican.
So, Senator Johnson, what do you see as the end game for this? I mean, you're really concerned, right? What's the thought process of your colleagues and where we end up with this?
So we're all really concerned about this assembly bill, including the governor. He's so concerned that he came out and publicly said that if this bill passes, he's going to veto it. He wants a clean bill. The huge concern for me is the referendum piece in here, because I don't have confidence that the referendum will pass.
Right.
And even if it passed, there would not be enough to collect those resources. We would be able to collect perhaps a sample and be able to tell from that sample what the revenues should be. But the money won't come in time by January 1st, 2025, which is when the city is anticipating insolvency. And that's huge.
Sandy, you're the barrister here, man. Is it possible, conceivable, that the city of Milwaukee will go into bankruptcy, especially without these resources?
You mean, well, it's legally possible, and some municipalities.
Is it likely?
Well, it would be a disaster financially. You know, it's very important that a city be able to float bonds and obtain money from the financial markets, and cities that have been unable to meet their obligations have a great deal of trouble then following turning around and doing what they need to do financially. So, no, my hope is that from the standpoint of politics, that this is more like the what's going on in Washington right now about the debt limit. It's the nuclear button that no one's going to touch. But you know, every municipality around the country is having significant problems, and particularly with respect to pensions, because until about 1995, pensions all had what was called fixed benefits. And fixed benefit pensions ended up being a serious problem as time went on and more people retired and fewer and fewer taxpayers were available to pay into the fund. So this is not a problem unique to Milwaukee. It's a problem present for every scale city, municipality of any scale.
Senator Johnson, I want to thank you for coming in. Time goes too fast. I got to reach back out to you because this is not going away. Is there something that we can expect, some kind of answer? Is there a timeline? We hear that these are negotiations. Again, your thoughts.
So they were expecting to have this bill on the floor by May 17th.
Oh.
So they're pushing it really fast. We're hoping that a new Senate version will come out, and that Senate version will be better. It'll remove the referendum. My concern is that not only does the community not understand the dire needs of the need for these dollars, but some of the electeds don't either. And we will be faced with either having to take that vote and vote yes or no and pass this, whatever version that comes out next, or allow the city to go into insolvency. And that's something that I don't think anybody should be willing
Senator
to.
Johnson, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Good to have you in the studio. We'll do it again. Got to go
thank
to a
you.
Break. Be right back. You